Welcome to Level 7, Episode 67, Season 2, Episode 5, A Hen in the Wolf House. Greetings, fellow agents. It's Agent Daniel Butcher here at his hub, ready to talk about A Hen in the Wolf House. But he's not alone. He's here with a fellow agent who will introduce himself now.
That's me, Agent Ben. I was going to play the music, Daniel.
We really should work out these details.
Welcome to Level 7.
There.
A podcast about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a magical place.
There.
So Ben.
Yeah.
Ben.
Yeah, Daniel.
A Hen in the Wolf House. I Googled that. Yeah, I Googled it. And at Yahoo Answers, the question was, what does it mean when one says it's like putting a wolf in a hen house?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it says you're asking for trouble. So I think we're asking for trouble because, hey, I don't even know if I said the title of the episode right.
It's A Hen in the Wolf House. That is the right title.
Did I say that?
I'm pretty sure that's what you said. Yes.
But I feel like we're definitely a wolf in the hen house because we're asking for trouble because we're trying out new stuff, new equipment. As we can tell, it's a little awkward tonight.
Yes, but that won't last. And this is the soundboard that our listeners helped us to pull together. It's a new microphone that's in front of my face. It's a soundboard that allows me to play music live, play bumpers live, and allows me to play emails. Emailed voicemails to us live. So actually when we get to that portion of the show, I can play the 3 John Wilkerson messages that we haven't played yet because of other stuff. This was set up a couple weeks ago, but we haven't been able to use it because I've been off dealing with internet problems. So I just want to say a very big thank you to everyone. Yes, it will sound a little awkward maybe tonight, as we're still working out some of the kinks and details, but
we're actually relearning. Yeah. Because in the past, you would just fix everything.
Well, that's just it. And there will still be things that I will fix, but it'll be done in a different way, in an easier way. So again, for everyone who went to welcometolevel7.com/Howard and gave to the podcast, you know, and got the free Howard the Duck commentary, which I can't imagine who's listened to that. I imagine maybe half of the people, maybe a little more than that. That's just a thank you. That's not you're not buying that because it's not worth what you're getting. The people who gave there were giving because they appreciated the podcast as a whole. And we do it free. We do it every week. We do it for you guys because we love being a part of the conversation and having you guys be a part of this conversation. And so for some of you to come and say, yeah, I want to support that, that means a lot to us. But it also meant that we were able to upgrade our setup and upgrade our game. It's just, like Daniel said, it's learning it all over again. And I'm enjoying it. I've had Daniel J. Lewis, who has been a huge help to me setting it up, getting it the way it's supposed to be with the settings and stuff, and learning just how to do things. But I can, you know, when it's time for us to do news, Daniel, I can just hit a button and we're heading off to it. I just have to make sure I hit the right button.
Well, and again, I will just say thank you. And I am a hot mess of appreciation and a hot mess of nerves as we try out our new production tonight.
Yes. Yes.
So do you think it's time for you to hit that button?
I think it is. I just have to make sure I hit the right one. And by the way, you know, if anyone does – the Howard the Duck commentary is still up, and we'll be doing that X-Men commentary next. But just the fact that people cared enough and enjoyed the podcast enough to want to help us out means so much to us. You cannot know how much it meant to us. And when I would get the boxes from Amazon, my wife would be like, "What is this? Another box?" You know, I'm like, "Yeah." And this one's a soundboard, and she's like, "What?" You know. People helped you to do that? I'm like, yeah, they did. And it cannot be stated enough.
But Mrs. Butcher would ask why. She doesn't quite get it. We do need to address real quick X-Men First Class commentary.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually been work done on that.
Yes.
There is work in progress on it. Yes. But I will say this about the commentaries. We put a lot of work into those. And I think with this one, since it's something that we've both seen and love, we're trying to put even more into it because we're going to lose the spontaneous Daniel factor in that.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Howard the Duck, you were watching for the first time ever when we did that commentary. And that was the gimmick, or part of the gimmick anyway. So, yeah. Okay, so we are moving on to our...
intelligence report.
Intelligence report.
Shield intelligence report.
All right, there we go.
You pressed the right button. Hey, not a lot of news this week, Ben.
No, and I like you know it like when that.
You know when I got the most important news item for this week?
When?
At about 8:59 my time.
And what news item was that?
Next week, Age of Ultron trailer being shown during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. That'll be cool. And that was revealed. Well, they revealed it as part of the coming attraction reel. You know, next week on S.H.I.E.L.D., here's this, and Age of Ultron trailer. That's kind of cool.
And I'll be honest, I was starting to trail off, and all of a sudden they said that, and I was like, whoa. Grab the remote, rewind. Okay, that's what they said.
That is what they said.
I saw what they did there.
And, well, yeah, we're not going to talk anything about what else is coming up in S.H.I.E.L.D. There is a comic book series that you alerted me to today that was announced in New York Comic Con. We missed that.
Yeah, and we missed it. I'm embarrassed because we know we've got our S.H.I.E.L.D. comic coming, but Marvel's also doing something called Operation Sin. And they're making it look like it's partially tied into Original Sin. But here's the big takeaway on this miniseries, 5 issues. Peggy Carter, Howard Stark.
And MCU continuity. Right?
No, because it has Woodward McCord, who's from Original Sin. So this is bringing Peggy into 616.
Wait, are you sure?
Mm-hmm, because of Woodward McCord.
Well, that doesn't mean they couldn't still make it, you know, the MCU version of him.
They could, but I doubt it since he's only had 2 appearances.
Yeah, but how many appearances does Whitehall have?
More than 2. Okay, but again, Whitehall hasn't been MCU'd in the Marvel – in the comics. He's been MCU'd on the TV. I mean, this – my impression is that this is a 616 story in the same sort of way that something like Winter Soldier The Bitter March was a 616 story. Yeah, it was coming out around the same time as Winter Soldier. It was to get us all excited, but it was a 616 story. This is tied into Original Sin because of Woodward McCord. Again, Marvel 616, not MCU.
Okay.
By the way, would I like to see Woodward McCord be MCU'd? No. Nope.
Well, why not? I mean,
I think it has implications for Nick Fury that I don't want to see in the MCU.
Okay. Well, but if you MCU it, you can change that.
You and I should probably talk about who Woodward McCord is, you and me alone sometime. There's some spoilers there.
All I'm saying is that it doesn't matter because if it's not part of the MCU, then it's its own thing.
Woodward McCord and what he does, in my opinion, doesn't MCU easily.
Okay.
Not easily. You know, maybe some will think I'm wrong. Maybe Agent O'Neill could make a case. But right at the moment, I don't feel like it's an easy MCUing because he's a little bit bigger than life.
Okay. Yeah, I totally, just because it was Howard and Carter, I thought, but looking here, it does say the comic will share similarities with the Agent Carter TV series.
Yep. So. You know, though, I will say this. On Thursday of this week, I am going to be putting up a review of the Original Sin Annual, number one. And that's all about Woodward and McCord. And this conversation is making me rethink that review a little bit and trying to decide whether or not he can be MCU'd.
Okay. Well, it looks like, though, this will be another thing that we'll be covering post-credits along with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's our plan. Is we're both going to read those, and we're both going to talk about them on the show versus writing a text comic file.
Yeah, yeah. But it would be post-credits. It won't be part of the conversation that we're having right now in the main episode. So if people aren't interested in it, they can easily skip it. But just to say, yes, there is a comic show. There is a comic book related to the show out there, and that's smart, and I'm...
And it's about time, because, again, I've often argued with Arrow that's where they were ahead of us, is they had that Arrow comic out there.
Well, and they're still ahead of it. I mean, there is no MCU version of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book, which that's...
No, you're right, because the S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book is going to be 616.
Yeah, it's going to be set in the comic book universe, not in the movie universe.
Now, it was clear when I was reading a solicitation for a future issue today, you know, our team's there. You know, they're there. They're part of that team. But again, as someone who's reading Secret Avengers that has Coulson, I'm interested in seeing how S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have Coulson.
Well,
because
we'll
he's a Secret Avenger. He's an integrated part of Secret Avengers. Now, you can argue Hawkeye does the same thing, and he's an Avenger, you know, so he's on multiple teams. Wolverine, before he died, was on like 18 teams. So could Coulson be on two teams? Yeah.
Or could he be pulled off of one team to go on to another one?
Well, if that happens, don't know. I'll still read Secret Avengers.
Well, yeah, and it comes down to it's good that they're doing tie-in material, even if it's not new material for our setting. I still think that they should do a 5-issue Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic series based on the TV series that introduces the Great Lakes Avengers and puts them on a mission that I could totally... I haven't written it as fan fiction
on
paper, but it's in my head, so...
It's time for you to hit a different button.
So we're going to move on to our mission report then.
Mission report.
And let's talk about this episode. Daniel, I have a way that I want to talk about this episode this time. And I want to see if you are okay with it. I think we should go commercial to commercial. Okay?
I am cool with that because, like you, I also mark out commercials.
Yeah. And so we will start at the beginning, go to the commercial break, and then we'll break it down and talk about what happened there, and then we'll move on that way. And Daniel,
I'm just going to say this now, Ben. If a giant monster came and attacked me and was able to release an EMP, you hear that sound right there?
Yeah.
I'm not digital. I'm nuclear with this paper.
You're nuclear?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Just making fun of you.
Why are you making fun of me?
Pacific Rim. But anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, because I watched Pacific Rim this week.
Yeah.
Here's what I wonder. How long have you been asking me to watch Pacific Rim? And has it been longer than you've been asked to watch Chronicle?
Absolutely longer. Absolutely longer. A lot longer. I mean, I saw it in the theater and said, you guys need to see this movie. And then you see it, and everybody who saw it with you is just, meh. Meh. You want to play a game, though, Daniel?
Sure.
Here's a game called What Had Been Watched Instead of Chronicle.
I already know the answer. I've played the game already.
So here's your clues, listeners. And if you can figure this out from these clues, you can win a no prize. Okay? Clue number one. Ned Beatty, but not Superman.
Okay.
Okay.
I think this is the one that threw me off because when I read it.
You thought Warren Beatty.
I thought Warren Beatty.
Clue number two. Okay, so it's TV. It's TV. Clue number three.
And that's where I got really confused because I didn't know what TV Warren Beatty had done.
Clue number three. We're talking over 10 seasons of this TV show. How's that?
And not the 18.
And which was five, which is respectable. Until you look at the fifth season, then you kind of lose respect. But clue number four, is that what we're on? Clue number four?
I think so.
It has to do with my profession, but not the comic book side of my profession. If you take comic book away from what my profession is and take, you know, that specificness of it, it's a general description of my profession. That's what I watched last night instead of Chronicle. So,
all right. So there's the contest, and let's get into this episode.
Hey, same network though. Someone asked what we would like to see crossed over on ABC with this show. I could see that crossover working.
No, don't do this to me. You know what the really hard part of that question was? Is I'm really only watching superhero shows at the moment.
Okay, so let's move on.
Okay.
Let's talk about this show because there was a lot going down. There was a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of cool stuff, and I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it right now. I liked this episode a lot, and we'll get to some of the reasons why as we do this.
And I was tense up until the tag even because I was expecting the tag to break my heart.
Oh, it could have gone a lot of different directions. The direction it went in, again, it was like last episode. It's just calling you back to next week. It's saying, hey,
I want to come back
because you saw this, right? You saw that. You saw this tag here before the credits rolled, and it turned into Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic Guy Who Lives Forever, right? You saw that because you're going to want to come back because it's crazy now.
And see, and I was expecting a tag that said, hey, you know those things that you liked about this episode? Well, compliance. Are you happy to comply?
Oh, that's why you were getting so tense about it then, eh?
Mm-hmm. I was expecting it to undo some things.
Okay. Hen in the Wolf House. The phrase is wolf in the hen house, and they flipped that because the hen that they are talking about is either Simmons or Agent Morse. Call her Bobby. The wolf house is Hydra, obviously. But then you also have another hen in the wolf house, and who's that? Raina in the underground doctor's office, I guess. Is that the best way to call it?
Well, he does call it a practice. Jumping ahead.
I'm talking about the title here. And then a third reason why you can have this title is, again, Raina walking into that restaurant where she is surrounded by
I have a hard time looking at her as a hen.
I'm looking at her and saying hen, and I'm looking at Coulson and Hunter and May and Sky. I mean, they're the wolves then. I'm just saying these are the variations on the title. That's all. You don't have to – I mean, yeah. Is she a hen? Well, the most obvious one here is Simmons. But the wolves are all different people and the hens are all different people. I mean, you could even make the case that Kenneth was one of the hens in the wolf house. Poor guy. He's really just more of a puppy in the wolf house who just kind of
– Let's talk about that later.
Okay, so – let's talk about our cold open. Cold open, change is a good thing, Daniel. They said it a lot. Change is a good thing. And it's a wedding. And it's a wedding with some guys who are in the Navy. The groom is in the Navy, and so a lot of the guys there, they're Navy people. And they give a toast, they drink, and right around their mouths – it starts changing the way we have seen people change before when they touch the obelisk.
And we know instantly that it's poison because one of the guests was asking for something stronger than champagne and she was only allowed to have champagne. So we know that the champagne has been spiked.
Right. And you get the impression that the guys who are like looking at each other who are serving are like, well, no, there's nothing any stronger. But then we find out that those guys who were serving – they all run and get in a van and, you know, oh, eight were down. dead, and there's, you know, everyone else is injured or whatever, and they failed. Bakshi
is
there.
Oh, you're so naive. They were so obviously Hydra. They were so obviously bad guys.
I just thought every he's like looking over there and saying, hey, do we have anything stronger? And the other guy's like, no, don't, sorry.
No, he had a sinister look to him.
I just saw it as, out of luck, lady. Well, she was out of luck, but no, she was one of the lucky ones. She didn't want the champagne, so she didn't drink it. I thought she was actually, there's one shot where everyone's kind of falling around her and she's kind of smiling. And I'm thinking, oh, is she in on this? Does she know? But no, she's not. But we see they are trying to weaponize. They're trying to use the stuff. They're trying to mimic the obelisk and kill people doing it. They're hoping for better results. That they failed, and now they have to tell Whitehall that they failed. So that's our
cold open. Hydra. Yeah, the poor Hydra waiters were only able to kill 8.
So the cold open, does it bring you in, Daniel?
I started being tense.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out for a few minutes if it was just, you know, was it blue stuff related to the 99 gun? And then I was like, no, they're corroding. They're dead.
It was gross, too. I mean, I expected maybe more to happen, and that actually was even a little more disturbing when it just stopped at that, and it wasn't like they turned into zombies or something. There wasn't any resolution to it. They just fell. They were just dead.
But when you think about it, this has been one of the changes we've seen in this 8 o'clock hour. Is we've got this tonight. We're part of the mouth's getting eaten away. We've got last week with the electrocution through the face. With our switch, we've become a little bit more gruesome at times.
Yeah.
Now, what I find ironic is, and I was even messaging you while I was watching it. I watched episode 2 of Gotham so that I get ready to listen to Gotham's TV podcast. And that was pretty bloody, and that was in 7 o'clock hour. So I made a comment, maybe I shouldn't be letting my kids watch that. But again, 7 o'clock hour, it seems like with us, ABC, Marvel, Disney, we had to get to the 8 o'clock hour before we started to get a little bit more grim.
And we should also mention that you're in Minnesota, and so your 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock hour are everyone else's prime time starting at 8 and 9. So Gotham is on at 8 in the 8 o'clock hour, and that we've moved to the 9 o'clock hour for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So just clarifying that.
It's called a time zone.
It is. It is. It's strange that you – well, I don't even know the politics behind it, but that your prime time starts at 7 instead of just waiting until 8 like the rest of the world. But I'm glad it is at – I'm glad you are an hour ahead of me, or you're right on time with me, I should say. So that
as someone who's lived in Central, that's my normal my entire life. Okay. So the waiters failed –
yeah, okay, so
back in the playground.
That's our cold open. We get the S.H.I.E.L.D. title, and then we are back to the playground, where they are giving a report on this. They're bouncing back and forth talking about this. They're waiting for contact from Simmons to find out if she knows what's going on. Coulson is he's large and in charge, but he's also, you know, as they're talking about some of the things, you know, with the obelisk and the writing, he is not being completely open with Sky. Sky also noticed that Coulson has written on the desk. She's pushing him for the answer. He is pushing back. He will not give it to her. You've got to be okay with it. I classified it, and they're like, well, you can unclassify it. And he said, I classified it for a reason. And so then May gives advice to him that, you know, keeping her out of the loop is not going to end well for you. Meanwhile, Raina has turned to Sky's father to get the obelisk.
Okay. Let's pause.
Okay.
She's reached out to Rising Tide. When's the last time we heard
that's
that?
That's right. That's true. That's a – yeah. It's been a while.
Because she's trying to find the source of the writings.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's reaching out to all of her resources. And Rising Tide is still something that she is at least communication with. Yeah.
So Raina's returned to Sky's father, who is – we see now he's working as a criminal doctor. And he's got, you know, criminals in his office there, and he's trying to help them out, and he's not happy about her interrupting them, but she's begging him, and he's saying don't beg, because you know, it's just a sign of weakness. And you're telling me now that Daniel Whitehall scares you more than I scare you. And he gets really, really, really angry about this. And as he's getting more angry, he's kind of losing control. And he says, the line that I found interesting here that we'll talk about in a minute is, I'm a man trying to put my family back together. Meanwhile, then we cut to Simmons, who's at Hydra.
Nope.
What did I miss?
Race through things.
I am racing through things. We're racing through this, and then we talk about it. Right?
Well, I thought we were going to talk about it.
Yeah, at the commercial break.
Okay, go.
Right,
go.
We're going commercial to commercial.
Okay, I misunderstood.
Simmons is at Hydra. She's brought in for consulting. Daniel Whitehall is right there, and they call him out as one of the new heads of Hydra. He mentions our founder had his Tesseract. The obelisk is Whitehall's Tesseract. He wants to weaponize it. He calls out Simmons specifically. Kenneth, sitting next to her, is impressed that he knows her name. He asks, can we weaponize the obelisk? And she's, yes, I think you could if you had a sample of it. And then she realizes what's going on, and she says to Kenneth, do you realize we could kill millions of people, perhaps even billions? Kenneth's answer is a Hydra answer. Pretty awesome, huh? Commercial break. Okay, now Daniel.
Dr. Dad.
Dr. Dad. I call him Pops in my notes, but I like Dr. Dad.
Dr. Dad is the one who discovered Raina. They have a long-term relationship.
They do.
Before Centipede, before Hydra, before season one, Dr. Dad was influencing Raina's life. And it makes it seem like he knew more about Raina than Raina did. He even makes this comment about how she just had her grandmother's fairy tales. So she may have had hints of what she is or who Dr. Dad was, but not the full story.
Yeah.
And so I find that interesting. Again, long-term relationship. Even though as this episode plays out, it's not like she feels like she's working for him the whole time. But it's definitely someone she knows well, and probably is definitely more loyal to than she ever was Garrett, because obviously with Garrett, she was just there because he helped her cause, what she wanted.
And I'm also maybe wondering if some of the stuff she was doing for Garrett, the cause that Garrett was helping her push forward was Dr. Dad's cause, somewhat. Maybe. But here's something I see. We have this relationship with Dr. Dad and Raina, and it's kind of this almost father-daughter relationship here. You know, not exactly, but almost. And it mirrors the Coulson-Sky relationship that we saw developing last season. And see a little bit more of in this episode. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I feel like this episode, earlier this season, we read off some critiques from one listener who had some concerns. And, you know, talking about the compartmentalization and the real family and some of the things that had been undone in mm-hmm. this season's premiere. And I will say, as you're even pointing out now, I begin to feel like they've redone those things now, that they've fixed it.
This episode is not changing the new normal, but it is bringing back some of those elements that we had before. So, and we'll get to them. So we have writing on the desk. Coulson can't help writing. He can't help doing the alien writing. He is carving it into his desk. He's obviously, we've seen him carving it into the wall. He tries to hold it back as long as he can, and then he has to just let it go and let it out. This is disconcerting, and I think it's meant to be. So at this point, where is this going? I don't know. We do know later on in the episode.
And I will say, at this point, we can at least assume he has a lack of control, because he obviously wouldn't want those on his desk since he's trying to hide them from everybody else.
Right. And, you know, for a guy who's keeping things classified and who doesn't want anyone to see something that he's written on his desk, you know, maybe use something a little more substantial than just dropping a folder on it. If you've just carved this into your desk, and maybe there's a cutscene.
Doing folders again. Jeez.
I know. I'm saying, maybe it was a cutscene. Maybe he did that right before they came in. In which case, it would make sense. But wouldn't you think, you know, you put a lamp there.
Maybe some wood putty, some stain.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Just because you carved it there doesn't mean you have to, you know, make it too accessible. So, but that aside, Coulson obviously has some problems here, and he's concerned, and we do find out that he's concerned about Sky, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Simmons at Hydra. I'm scared for her. I'm getting tense. Whenever they cut to a Simmons scene in this episode, I'm getting tense.
Here's what I'm thinking about here. Kenneth, who I think we've kind of stereotyped him in the way he's been portrayed. You know, he's a scientist. He might be a little bumbly. He's not, you know, he's a little pear-shaped.
He's a supervisor, you know. He's just...
You know, I get that.
You do your job well. You got to do your job so I can look good.
Yeah, he's a cold jerk. He's with the program.
He is totally Hydra.
And so when you made the comment that, you know, oh, poor Kenneth. No, there's no poor Kenneth. No, I exactly know what she was doing, because right at that moment, I think that Simmons may have thought of him as, you know, oh, he's Kenneth. But I think at that moment, she realized what he was, which was pure evil.
It makes it easier for what happens to him later. So we come back from the commercial. People are working in the playground, and one of those people is Mac. And he is a cut gentleman. He's got some tone to his arms, to his chest, to his abs. Head Simmons likes Mac. And obviously then Fitz is, well, since you're not real and I'm thinking you and making you up, I must think, you know, that he's also well-formed specimen of humanity. And she says, you're burying the lead here, Fitz. You just admitted I'm not real. And we see Sky, she's examining the art. Hunter gives her advice. If there's something Coulson doesn't want you to know, you should go after it. And maybe you could go and talk to the person downstairs. So she does. She goes to Ward. Ward is trying to, in her words, explore weaknesses. But we do get some information from Ward about Garrett, that he carved the words. And he couldn't stop carving those alien words after he was injected with GH. And so he wonders, you know, how about you? And he doesn't feel bad about Garrett getting killed. He actually thinks it was a good thing, because the Garrett he knew was long gone once the writing started. Meanwhile, you've got him also saying, I will take you to your father, because Raina knew your father, and she doesn't believe it. We cut to Raina. Raina sees Simmons going to work, and then Raina kind of follows her around to where Simmons is eating fast food to make her report to Coulson about what's going on with obelisk stuff. And I believe she called it an extinction event, a possible extinction event. Sky goes to confront... Oh, go ahead.
She did. She called it an extinction event.
Sky goes to confront Coulson and actually starts getting some information from him. You know, he finally starts opening up to her a little bit more. He says that seeing Garrett's writings triggered his own writings, and then they're trying to figure out, he's basically been watching her to see if anything's going to happen from her studying the writings. He, I think, wasn't expecting her to even get an answer. They're just like, well, we'll put her in charge of the writings and see if she can figure it out, and we'll see if she starts doing it too. But they've been keeping cameras on her and just keeping tabs on her. Again, burying the lead being that it wasn't triggered because the DNA that they injected her with was already there. And she's saying, wait,
just remain calm about this.
I'm an alien? I'm an alien? What?
Just remain calm about this. Come on. Let's not freak anybody out.
And so then we get a phone call from Raina, who wants to meet. And we cut to Hydra. An alarm goes off at Hydra. Bobby Morse is there to investigate a mole. We finally see...
No. We don't know Bobby Morse is there. We know Tall Woman is there.
Okay. I'm just calling her Bobby Morse because that's her name. And we've seen
Until
her...
Until she calls herself Bobby Morse, I require that you call her Tall Woman.
Okay. To investigate a mole. So let's talk
she
about
She could this. Be anyone. Anyone.
Except for, well, I'm not going to talk about the, you know, commercials and pictures and website information.
Some people may have remained pure.
But nobody's listening to this podcast has because they've seen the episode. So
So here's the big bombshell. So we know the Blue Man's not Atlantean.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because
they're saying it's alien.
Yeah, they're going straight to that. But on the flip side of that, if you did not know Atlanteans existed, and you were all of a sudden had one on a medical table in front of you to dissect, you might think it was an alien. I don't know if you would go first to, underwater person.
Definitely not a mutant.
Can't
say mutant.
Definitely got that. Definitely not a mutant. But there are some, you know, inhuman. That's a definite possibility. alien, I mean, Kree, any of those aliens we could easily bring in and mention and say, well, it could be that. Yeah, so there's this is something that you would kind of need a little time to process, I think, if you found out that you just might have some alien DNA within you. So, yeah. And again, Simmons, every time I see her, to use your word, I'm getting tense.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think last week I said I wasn't tense. I was tense all throughout this episode, which is good. Good for me.
Yeah. All right. Moving forward.
Ward's got some interesting things to say.
Okay. Go to Ward then. Let's go to Ward.
He makes it clear the symbols are an indicator that you've got a bag full of cats in your head. You know, you're crazy. You're a crazy, crazy critter if you're doing the symbols.
You got some problems. He
straight out says that the Garrett that he was loyal to was gone at this point.
Which
the Garrett he was loyal to is pretty evil. But he's making it seem like this Garrett was like extinction event evil.
I don't know.
He was just like out there. He was the dude, man. He was not his guy anymore. And he's basically hinting, hey, if somebody's making these symbols, it's not you, right?
Yeah.
Because it's bad. It's bad if you're making the symbols.
And he's not the only one giving us that impression. I mean, this is why you've got May on Death Watch ready. You know, she's supposed to pull the trigger if Coulson goes in that direction. So.
And also Ward does make sure that if you are new to the show, that he gives you a reference to let you know that this existed in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Really early, before Garrett.
Yeah.
To I Spy.
That was nice. That was a good callback. Just a nice memory of a good episode. And yeah.
And my daughter, the only member of the family now watching this with me, would really like him to shave that beard.
I am wondering, though, going back to I Spy, is that writing from someone who had touched the obelisk? Although, no, it really couldn't be. Well, it could be. I mean, it could be from someone from, you know, World War II era who touched the obelisk, started carving. So now they have that. And they're in Russia, and they've moved that, and they're studying it there.
They could have copied it.
Yeah, yeah. It brings up some interesting possibilities if that writing is specifically from people who
Doc Dad could have put it up.
You know, we don't know anything about him. It's interesting.
But there's a connection.
Yeah, so, well, he, and there's a connection to him and Whitehall. He knows who Whitehall is.
Oh, very much knows who
and
Whitehall
so is. I'm wondering if we're going to see Kyle MacLachlan maybe in some Agent Carter episodes. It'd be another way to bring in some crossover.
I would welcome it. You know who he's not? He's not Woodward McCord.
Again, you know, since I don't know who that is, I'll defer my opinion there to you. So, well, should we move on then? Anything else to talk about here? Bobby Morse, we see her for the first time. She is there to do her job.
The tall woman
is. We come back from the commercial and they're investigating and they are looking for something similar. This is what they found is that they found Simmons' communication device, which is this kind of,
it's a flex screen.
Yeah. It's a napkin that you can write messages on and send things. It's basically an iPad on a napkin.
No, they literally call it a flex screen.
Do they? Okay, well, they found it.
And Shield Tech.
And now they're looking for more, and Kenneth actually has something. He has them.
Kenneth.
And
you
so,
nasty little...
Yeah, he gets a knock on the noggin, and he is... He's gone. That boy
I haven't
is gone.
Seen goons. I haven't seen goons act that fast since V the Final Battle.
What's nice though is, hey, you know what? Bobby Moore's costume does remind me a little bit about that.
Ian Foley again, home run on this.
Oh, totally.
I'm Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The tall woman's costume.
So this is great. I mean, we know watching this. I was thinking, boy, I really wish that I had been Pierre. For this, that I didn't know that this was Mockingbird or Mockingbird. Yeah,
don't go Hunger Games on me.
That's why that confused me. Okay, anyway, it would have been awesome to not know who she was and just see the turn happen. But since we do know who she is, we're watching her and we're waiting. It's coming. Coulson meets Reyna at a restaurant. I believe the restaurant is called La Contessa Furioso.
Dude, you're missing the... You totally left out the bathroom. This is how good she is. She's following Simmons into the bathroom.
That's later. That's after this scene.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Hydra is everywhere.
Yeah, that's after the part I'm talking about right now.
No.
Coulson meets Reyna, La Contessa Furioso. It's written right above Reyna's head. The Countess of Fury kind of thing. She flirts a little bit. And this is where, you know, she's talking about the obelisk doesn't have to be dangerous. It's just powerful. And Hydra is looking for a spy. And Reyna is now using that info to talk to Coulson and say, what if they saw this? Then we go to the bathroom where Simmons and Morse, they have their confrontation. Hydra is everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Be careful. And then we cut back to Coulson meeting Reyna, and Coulson's saying, I don't like to be threatened. And Reyna says, I will delete the photo if I can take Skye with me right now. Because she, I think we've left out the last episode, we found out if she doesn't bring the obelisk back to Whitehall, she's going to die and die horribly.
48 hours.
She has 48 hours. And so her plan was first go and ask for it. That didn't work. Second, go and take the one thing that Dr. Dad wants, and that's Skye. Whitehall gave her 48 hours. She's giving Coulson 2 minutes. And in 2 minutes, an email will go out that is going to just completely reveal Simmons as a spy. The clock is counting down. And we have all this information about her father, what her father is. We'll get to that in a moment when we're done talking about the scene.
Now,
but
we do have to say this about this picture.
What?
They already know she has a S.H.I.E.L.D. resume.
Yeah, but they don't know that she's sending messages to S.H.I.E.L.D. I believe that picture is her sending the message from this episode.
It is. It is her holding a flex screen, but that could have been taken at any time.
It could have. Except,
Again, the goons, they hit fast.
So he says no deal. Here you're wondering, is he calling her bluff? And she's watching the clock go down and she's getting scared and she's saying, well, we can fix this. We can take care of this. And then the email goes out. We have our commercial and this is the best mid episode twist of the entire season. I won't say the entire series, but I'm going to say entire season so far, which is, you know, only
because
five episodes, but this is a complete flip. Coulson let the clock run down. Suddenly, you have emails going out to everyone in Hydra with Simmons' picture in it.
Guess her cover's blown.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great, great, great commercial. I mean, you could have ended an episode right there. You could almost have done a mid-season cliffhanger
at this moment. At this point, I'm getting messages that are all in caps, which, by the way, is considered yelling.
Yeah, so. That's why they were all in caps, because I'm sitting alone in my living room. My wife is in the kitchen. I get to that and I wanted to yell. Now that's a mid-episode twist. That's a mid-episode flip. I didn't have anyone who appreciate it, so I had to just send really loud messages to Daniel. So there it is. So let's talk about Coulson and Reyna. Coulson and Reyna have the back and forth about the obelisk. They have the back and forth about the father. And
you feel like at times they're dating?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Hunter, he's not liking this.
Is she hitting on him?
Yeah.
Are we? Who's this big threat? Are we talking about the little woman in a flower dress?
Totally. He is not impressed. He is not impressed.
No, tiny girl. It's not even a woman. He identifies her as a tiny girl in a flower dress.
Now, she has a line in here that says, just because something's powerful doesn't mean it's dangerous. She's talking about the obelisk. But
yeah, and
then
the
conversation moves to the father. I get the idea that she could also – that phrase could possibly be some of her feelings about Dr. Dad. Just because something's powerful doesn't mean it's dangerous. But no, he's pretty dangerous.
He's dangerous. But I think you're right there. Here's one of the things. The obelisk, which we'll soon have a name for it, I don't think it's originally meant as a weapon. I think the death is a side effect, probably from misuse. But I mean, even Whitehall makes the comment, can we weaponize it? So
yes.
You get the sense it's not an object that's meant to be a weapon to start with, but because of how it's used improperly or used by the wrong people or in contact with the wrong DNA, it becomes a weapon.
Yeah, I think also if you would put it on a glove with five other items.
I'm not willing.
It could
not willing
totally
to go there
be
yet.
Used as a weapon.
Not willing to go there yet.
I think
that, as I said before, you are wrong until you're proven right.
I'm going to say that I feel 60% confident that this is an Infinity Gem.
And I feel 40% confident that you're wrong.
And I have some listener feedback, some awesome listener feedback that also has another theory about the obelisk. But we'll get to it. So the father, I'm wanting to know more about the father. And they're revealing just a little bit. I thought maybe Skye would get a chance to see the father. I thought she was going to jump out, but she didn't get a chance to jump out and say, "Take me, I'll take you, you know, take me and save Simmons." And why? Skye gets manhandled, or mayhandled. Maybe that's the better way to put it. May ain't going to let her step through that door. Because Coulson has a plan. Coulson has a plan. And I'm thinking, Coulson better have a plan.
Well, and that's the thing. Skye's not trusting him. I wasn't trusting him. Because when it was hitting 3 and 0, I was like, what did he do?
Seriously. You know, and that's – you've got to go back and forth between can I trust him, can I not? But then when it happens, there's no going back there. And that is, I'm thinking, oh, great, another counting, you know, timer. The timer runs out, and it's not like as the people are running out of the building and the explosion's going. No, it happens. It totally happens.
Coulson's calm about it. He's completely calm about it.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out why in a moment. So, anything else you want to talk about with this section here?
Nope.
Okay.
Because I want to start talking after the commercial.
Well, basically, Bobby Morse, tall woman, Mockingbird, was sent by Coulson, and she is going to get Simmons out of there. And she does some – I'm just going to say it. She does some Black Widow-worthy moves here for
Would
TV.
Would you call it Maytastic?
What?
Maytastic?
Maybe. I mean, I'm
Natasha-rific?
I'm going as far as Natasha, yeah. Yeah, because I do think Natasha could take May in a fight.
But let's pause here on that, though. I mean, really, that is traditional Mockingbird. I mean, she is a spy. She uses martial arts and
– she uses the two – what do you call those? Billy – they're not billy clubs. They're fighting sticks.
I don't know what to call them. Fighting sticks. I mean, this is the role she serves in the comics. Is a kick rear, tough, hard to beat agent. She is in that Natasha Romanoff May family.
And she looks like she deserves it.
Of heroines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's lots of fighting. Well, maybe not lots of fighting, but the fighting we do get, it's really, really well done, really well choreographed, and it's that Natasha Romanoff style of fighting where it's just pow, 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 doing whatever needs to happen as quick as it needs to happen just to take this guy's out as quick as possible. It's some pretty cool stuff. Meanwhile, with Coulson and Reyna, basically Coulson has the upper hand now because he knows Simmons is going to get out and he knows that Reyna is going to die. And so they're going to use Reyna to get to the father. And if they, you know, we'll see what happens next, but they're going to use Reyna to get she gives him the address for the father. And yeah, but before they get a chance to go as a team, Skye's already out the door heading to find her father. Meanwhile, Bobby Morse and Simmons are on the roof. We lose. There's a implied huge fight scene that includes Bakshi. Like, she goes running at Bakshi and two guards, but we don't get to actually see how the fight scene plays out. She comes running out the door and people are shooting at her and they jump off the building.
We've seen Bakshi fight before. So we know he's tough.
Yeah.
And she even gives the impression at some point that he is, you know, a ruffian.
Mm-hmm.
When she talks about the fact that, you know, he does some of the light lifting with the traitors. And you're right. There should have been a scene here. Maybe we'll get it on the season 2 Blu-ray collection.
Maybe.
Probably not. I don't think they filmed it.
Yeah. No, I totally think this is one of those, we've shown one fight. You've seen what she can do. We're going to leave the rest to your imagination. And that can work.
But it's not like we see him with a black eye later.
No. Okay. So, fight. Jump off the roof. Land on a Quinjet. Daniel, I was happy to see who was flying the Quinjet. But part of me...
You know what I'm going to say.
Well, okay. You can go ahead and say it then.
Trip on a Quinjet. Get him off the Quinjet.
Okay, you didn't say what I was going to say then. I thought they were going to go in the Quinjet, and that was going to be cut scene right there. We're stopping right there. They're going to go back. They're going to land at the playground, and they're going to talk about who picked them up. I was not expecting to see Trip. I was expecting them just to go from one place to the other and maybe not even talk about who took them there. And then my mind is thinking, what if, Daniel? What if it was implied, you didn't have to see him, but it was implied that this was Hawkeye flying that Quinjet, taking them home. I don't know, man. Can you imagine?
Well, but part of the problem with that would then identify what he is doing right at the moment.
Absolutely no problem with that, because they know,
other than
if they know what's going on in Age of Ultron, then they could only do it if it would work with what's going on in Age of Ultron.
I'm going to give you a possible reality. He may not be in S.H.I.E.L.D. just because he's an Avenger.
That is a possibility.
He may not be helping Coulson.
Total possibility.
That would be the explanation of why he's not here. It's not like Natasha's helping him.
I'm saying that they know what's happening with Age of Ultron. If it would work, they could have done that. They didn't. They had Trip on there anyway. And that's okay, because Trip and Simmons, they're getting together. You know? I mean, this is the reunion episode, and we get Trip and Simmons back together. So that's
And she was
thing.
Really happy to see Trip.
She was very happy to see Trip. Very happy.
Trip can't get off the Quinjet, though. I mean, this is me digressing. He got paid for the episode, but it doesn't really seem like a good use of him as a guest star.
Just not using him.
You could have had Mac fly the Quinjet. He already got paid for the episode.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
unless they paid him for the entire season and Mac for the entire season. I mean, we know they didn't pay Kaning for the entire season.
Yeah, there's one guy on this group here who doesn't belong in the group, it's feeling like, and that's Trip, and that's unfortunate. I don't know why they brought in Lance Hunter, but all the stuff that Lance Hunter is doing, Trip could and should be doing.
No, because Trip wouldn't be annoying. I mean, he's there to partially annoy us.
Maybe, but maybe make Mac a little bit more annoying. I don't know.
Don't make Mac annoying.
No, because they used him to bring in to draw out Fitz. Well, okay, Trip could have done the drawing out Fitz and that.
Okay, okay. Let's calm down. I remember around a year ago, we were making comments about how little at times Fitzsimmons was being used. Correct?
Yeah, but slightly different.
By the end of the season, didn't we feel better about their final totals?
I'm hoping that Trip gets some more deserved time.
We got to just kill somebody.
Well, maybe.
There's too many.
They brought in Mac and they brought in Hunter, and either one of those roles, not for skill sets, but as far as like character roles, either one of those, Trip could just have easily been written into the script to do what Mac did with Fitz or to do what Hunter is doing as an active field agent. Now, you wouldn't use Trip to fix the plane. You know, Mac is there as a mechanic, and that's okay. But, you know, he was there character-wise to work with Fitz and to draw him out.
I'm just saying now, Hunter doesn't make it to season 3. He's going to be killed.
I don't know. After the end of this episode, I think we've got some long time with him.
He's going to sacrifice himself. For a former love.
Ready to move to
because
next?
I refuse to kill Trip. And I refuse to kill Mac, so Hunter's got to die. Sorry, Lance Blood. You got to die.
And then Trip would have more to do.
Truth.
Yeah, and that's the reason right there for me. All right, next section. Sky is in the portable or the underground crime doctor area. No one's there. It's been cleared out except for a picture. Obviously left there on purpose. At least that's what I'm...
this is what I look like.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm holding a baby.
That baby's you. Loving.
Yeah.
I've looked for you your entire life. You were forcibly taken from me. As you should have.
Coulson comes in, and he's supportive. And he's connecting, and he's finally... We get a hug between the two of them, and then you have Hunter come, and you know, so it's a group hug moment. You know, Trip could have come in and had some sort of funny line there too. Anyway, we're not going to do that anymore. Sky's Dr. Dad is sad. Dr. Dad is sad because Coulson gets to have those father moments. He's a jealous man now.
Because we find out that both dads like cameras.
That's true, yes. Both dads are secretly spying with cameras on their daughter.
I so need to wire up my daughter's room.
But then they find out that Pops actually killed those two guys. When Raina left and Dr. Dad was angry and they kind of gave him some lip, it just cuts to commercial or cuts to break or cuts to the next scene or whatever it was. We don't know what he did. And we don't ever see it. We see it off camera, though. I mean, we imply it off camera. We see on camera that he has killed those two guys and killed them brutally. And Sky looks at this and says, And then watching her on the camera, Dr. Dad finishes it for her. Monster! And he throws his iPad out the window. Simmons comes home. It's a sweet reunion. Fitz and Simmons have their own reunion. Bobby has her reunion. She walks in. Matt calls her Barbara. He's got history with her. That was cool to see.
And it was like immediate.
And then
big smiles.
And we see that she's also got history with Hunter. She's the ex-wife that Hunter's been talking about all this time. And it totally makes sense if Mac has history with her. Then Hunter would know her, but this was completely out of left field. I was not expecting that, and boy, does that bring in some interesting dynamics there. So, Sky and Coulson have a little head-to-head. No more secrets. You're gonna
no more compartmentalization.
Yeah, she says, if I'm gonna do this, then you can't have any more secrets. And so he says, well, let's get started, shows her the writing and talks about what the writing is to him. He doesn't know what it means. He has no theory. He just knows it happens. And Sky has a theory. She thinks it's a map. So that's that section of the episode.
So here's my first impression. Bobby is the one who vouched for Hunter.
Yeah.
I always thought it was Izzy.
Well,
I always thought it was Izzy.
It could have been both.
Because, well, but Bobby's pretty emphatic about it.
And Coulson never named
it. Clear that, yeah, and Coulson clearly trusts her because he sent her in after Simmons. He sent her to back up Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly knows her well, has some sort of working relationship with her. She is clearly highly effective since she brings back Hydra intelligence by bringing back Simmons's hard drive.
Nice move. Nice move.
So, but yeah, it wasn't Izzy that vouched.
And yeah, Coulson never said. I think that it just was implied because he kept saying things like, you've been vouched for. You know, you.
Yeah. Did Bobby vouch for Izzy?
That is also possible. Although I got the impression that Izzy and Coulson did have a little bit of a background together.
I know. We were under the impression, were we not, that Izzy was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yes.
More than a mercenary. She had gone under. But maybe it was Bobby who had to vouch for Izzy because Izzy had been under for so long. And you definitely get the feeling that Izzy would have vouched for Mac in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And they've had good times in the past.
I mean, Mac's excited to see her. And as someone who uses an avatar that is based on a Mockingbird comic book cover, I'm excited to see Mockingbird. I mean, she was fantastic.
And she's on the team now, my friend.
She is on the team.
Brother, she has been asked to be on the team.
And
she hasn't said no.
Wow.
She hasn't said no yet.
Well, we know she's going to be back. But here's my terror. Here was where I was terrified. I was terrified that our post scene was her saying, I will comply.
Oh, I thought you were going to have Simmons do that in your terror.
No, because I really like Mockingbird.
Okay.
Even though they never call her that, I really liked her. I liked the action. I liked the presence. I liked the costuming. I mean, this is a character I'm excited about.
Yeah, I look at this and think, you know, I think that this woman could have carried a Wonder Woman TV show.
I agree. Any executive that didn't think she could carry a Wonder Woman TV show is a moron.
Granted, I haven't seen the pilot. And people that I know who have seen it have said it's terrible. But if it was terrible, it wasn't because of her.
Nope. Mm-mm.
So.
Nope. Hey, Marvel can make a raccoon a star. DC, as Ben said, DC can't make Wonder Woman a star.
Well, they're trying
to. And you know
to.
What? And here, again, clapping for the Whedon family. Another strong female character.
Yeah, she's tough and competent. And actually ended up doing some of the stuff we expected Izzy maybe to be doing this episode or this series instead of dying.
I feel like she's more developed in one episode than Hunter has been in five.
Maybe. I mean, she gets a good entrance, though. She gets a good episode to reveal, you know, who she is and what she does. We see her working undercover, doing great. We see her, you know, as soon as the mission turns and throws her a curveball, she is there, and she is going to protect Simmons. And then we see her fight, and fight hard, and fight well. And she has a great introduction in this episode.
Man, I'm excited about Mockingbird. if teenage Daniel thought that I'd ever say that, he would have laughed in old Daniel's face.
Well. You know, Mockingbird and Hawkeye, they both helped to develop and to pull together the Great Lakes Avengers.
Don't.
And then.
Don't. Can we talk about the big reveal?
Which
Sky
one?
Figures out what the writing is.
Yeah. Where is this going? Is this a galactic map, or is this leading you to something on Earth?
Or is it crop circles? Is it But yeah, I think she's right too, because why wouldn't she be? But she has identified this writing as not as writing, but it's a map.
Do you think this is something she figured out beforehand?
No.
You don't?
Let's be honest. She hasn't seen it laid out on such a big canvas before. She's seen pictures.
That's what I was wondering.
And I think having it laid out in front of her, we know that's the entire segment. The pictures may only have partial segments. I think it's seeing it up there, tactically being able to touch it, has keyed into her that, yes, this is a map. And, you know, that alien DNA is helping too.
I wonder about that. So, and maybe...
Clearly, she's from a star-faring race.
Or at least a moon-living one, so... Okay, so...
But yeah, five episodes in, we get a mystery solved, which is this is a map. Yeah.
And this
now, the next mystery is a map to what?
Yeah, this is an episode, though, I look at it and think, okay... This is the episode you don't tell people watch the next episode because the last episode was really good. This is the one that you say watch this last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because there's some good stuff going on. I just don't know how much you're going to be able to track without having seen the previous episodes. Because this is a building episode. It builds on a lot of stuff that comes before it. And it's payoff. It's payoff for the last four episodes.
So can we talk about the commercial?
We need to do the tag.
No. I want to talk about – we can do the tag after the commercial. Let's talk about commercials first.
What commercial?
The Big Hero 6 commercial.
Oh, where they say based on the Marvel comic?
I think that's the first time I've heard them say that.
It's the second I've heard that I remember. Yeah.
When they first announced Big Hero 6, we saw the word Marvel used a lot in news stories. They have spent the last probably 18 months making it clear that this is not a Marvel production, but that this is a Disney animation production.
It is from the creators of Wreck-It Ralph and Frozen, and you see those two logos on the screen often in the commercials.
And this movie, Big Hero 6, it's in the count. And when I say it's in the count that starts with Snow White, has Cinderella, has Sleeping Beauty, has 101 Dalmatians, it's got Frozen, it's got Little Mermaid. It's in that family. It's not a Pixar movie. It's not a Disney Toons movie. It is a Disney animation movie that starts with Snow White. And they've spent the last 18 months reinforcing that fact. And now, approximately 2 to 3 weeks before release, they're bringing back Marvel again.
What I think is happening is
when they
mention this show, when they put it a trailer, because I heard it on a trailer that I think was with X-Men. Might have been Guardians of the Galaxy, but it was next to a Marvel movie, and they actually had the Marvel logo pop up. And so I think, okay, if you're watching something that has to do with comic book, Marvel comics, you're going to hear the word Marvel about this movie. Otherwise, no, you're not going to, because that's not important here. And it's not unusual. I mean, they've done other animated movies based on books. This is just another in the long line of some of those kind of things where they, you know, are basing it on.
But what the difference is here is
Great Mouse Detective, for example,
on a property, but they're basing it on a property that they own within one of their major units.
Yeah.
And so if it was a Pixar movie, you never see a Pixar movie that they only call a Disney animation movie. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not going to have the Star Wars movies not have the tag Lucasfilm in there. Now, this came from Marvel. Now, they've made it clear, and we've talked to people about it before in the news, they're allowing Disney to run with it and go a different way. I'm not expecting to see the Silver Samurai in this. I've never read any of the Big Hero 6 books. My guess is this story's not the same. But I found it very, very interesting, especially, again, someone who's been getting reinforced with a lot of messages that this is Disney Animation Studio that – in the middle of a Marvel production, they want to make sure we know, hey, there's a Marvel tie-in here, just in case you didn't figure out it's a superhero movie.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so the commercial played, and we go to Hydra is packing up all their stuff to get out of that building. They need to get out quickly, and, you know, because S.H.I.E.L.D. knows that they are there. And so they're packing up all of their, you know, Hydra mugs and Hydra coffee makers and Hydra pictures on the wall and Hydra folders and, you know, all of their Hydra stuff. The Hydra
spoons, don't forget the posters.
The Hydra posters, the Hydra plates. All
the hang
stuff.
In there.
Yes, the hang in there Hydra. Hang in there, buddy. Poster of the octopus. They're leaving. They're packing up and leaving, and they can't. They have to take it with them because they can't replace all that. You know, you can't just go to IKEA and buy a Hydra desk. You know, you have to have it special made. So they're getting out of there, and who would happen to drop by? This was a surprise to me. I was not expecting this turn of events, and I wonder what this means for Raina and her 48-hour countdown. Dr. Dad, Kyle MacLachlan. Pops, he comes, and he is trying to stay calm, doing a pretty good job of it, except for, you know, the whole stabbing someone in the throat and pounding someone's head with a metal box. But Whitehall lets him approach the desk, approach the throne, and he opens up the box, and what's inside? The obelisk. But what do they call it? The Diviner. The Diviner. And Whitehall says, can you tell me how to use it? And he says, better yet, I'll teach you how to survive it. And then Coulson is brought up because they have the same goal in mind. Whitehall and Papa Dad, they want to kill Coulson.
Well, and it makes sense for Papa, for Dr. Dad, because Sky already has a dad. And you can't become dad until you kill dad.
Yeah. Yeah,
and notice he's going to kill the entire family. Dr. Dad had made a comment earlier about putting his family back together. Sky's not her name. Trying to reunite everybody. So he's going to kill the whole family so he can have his family.
So many things here that just make me think Inhumans. That family focus that he has makes me think, okay. And we've got some good feedback and some emails here that I'm going to read to you soon that kind of get into that, but... What I like about this episode is it brings people back together, finally, but you still have people working at cross purposes with each other, trying to figure out, you know, what is Coulson hiding from me? What am I going to hide from Coulson? How do we, let's just put this out in the open. You see people's motives. And Daniel, here's something that happened for this episode that hasn't happened yet this season. I was looking at the clock to see when this was going to be done because I didn't want it to be done. We're getting closer and closer, and I'm looking at the clock and being, oh, only 10 minutes left. Oh, man. Oh, this is going to be the tag scene now. Oh. And this was really, really good. And I like that we're bringing the family back together.
It should make many of us happy. Hey, before we go away and you press other buttons, mm-hmm. There's two other things I want to talk about that we didn't talk about in depth enough. Raina's scared.
Yeah.
How scared is Raina? She is so terrified that she was willing to join S.H.I.E.L.D. She offers herself up to Coulson as a resource because she's that scared of what Whitehall will do to her, that scared of what Doc Dad will do to her. She is terrified. And so,
to be fair,
her actions.
To be fair, Whitehall made a pretty convincing case last episode.
Well, and he got the address because she's terrified. And Coulson's only made her more terrified because, yeah, he tagged her. She's bait now. And he's even made the threat. You know how helpful we'll be. It all depends on how useful you are. So I don't know if I've ever seen Raina terrified.
No, we haven't. I mean, she's always just been kind of cool, collected. It's always just been, yeah, I'm doing my thing, and I am above it all. Whatever you might be thinking, I'm not worried. And until it's Whitehall,
and Doc Dad. Though again, Doc Dad makes the comment, you know, why are you more scared of him than me? Why are you more scared of the butcher than I am? You should be scared of me. For heaven's sakes, I'm holding your throat. So, and then speaking of Doc Dad, he is the word monster I think that is the key. He wants the perception of being a man, of being a family man, of being a dad, of being a doctor. But the word monster, now the word monster, we go back to season one where we talk about Skye's origin. And with Skye's origin, monsters had killed the village and attacked it.
Yep.
And in this episode, when he hears the word monster as a representation of himself, that's when he kills. That's when he freaks out. I mean, he throws the iPad. He wants to kill Phil Coulson now. He kills those criminals because he does not want to have the perception that he is a monster, even though that's what the fairy tales are about.
I thought he said the word himself.
Well, I think with the first time. He did. She says it.
And Skye says he's a, and then he says monster and hits the iPad. Yep. But yeah, it does all tie back to that original tale of monsters did this.
And he doesn't want to be a monster, and he is characterized as a monster, even if it's in self-reflection. He goes angry. He goes Hulk.
Because he sees her walking into the room, and he's saying, no, he doesn't want her to see what he left behind. I mean, he had to clear out other things from that place, except for that baby picture and those two men. Yeah, he is someone who definitely wants – there's who he is and who he wants people to see him as, and they don't match up.
Let's throw in the fact because he and real dad both like cameras. He gets to see he gets to witness Guy having a father relationship,
totally.
A true parent relationship.
Totally.
So it's not just – I do think the monster characterization is part of his anger. But let's be honest. He wants to kill Phil because Phil's the other dad.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. It's jealousy of losing his daughter a long time ago. But his daughter has found a dad, and his daughter hasn't found him yet. So there's definitely a problem in that scenario. I just kept thinking – all he wants is Skye, and he busted out of there before he could have her because she was coming to him. Then you see that the cameras are up and that he's watching and he's seeing her, and I'm just thinking, oh, man, dude, go get her.
Maybe they could have had a good reunion if there wasn't two dead guys there.
That is true.
It's not like they went in shooting.
No. Well, and Skye went in first. I mean, if he had stayed in there, Skye would have had at least a couple minutes of just daddy-daughter time, you know? In our house, we call it the daddy-daughter date, where it's just – it might be an art night together. It might be let's go out to eat, do some mini golf, you know? He could have had that time, but he didn't because he left because people were coming with guns and he had just killed two men. So that's not the way my daddy-daughter dates usually go. I don't know about you.
Well, at least 9 out of 10 of them.
So if I've kind of already given my final thoughts on just this episode, and I want to hear yours, Daniel. What are your final thoughts here on the episode?
Tension's back. Love Mockingbird. Love her addition to the team. Love the fact that she's going to get under Lance Hunter's skin.
Who knew that these, what we thought were maybe just throwaway jokes, were actually foreshadowing.
Leading up to something. Yeah. Everything means something. It's all connected.
All right. Well, are you ready to move on to our field report then?
Hit the button.
I'm going to.
Shield field report.
All right, I'm going to call this email, I Will Face My Enemy. And the reason I'm going to call it that is because that is the subject line, Daniel, from Agent Rico. He says, I have to say, this season is dense. I watch an episode and I feel like I've watched two. They're really jammed. They really jam-packed with excitement. This episode was a bit of a breather, sort of like a dark ride segment of a Disney ride. And then next week, it's the roller coaster again. So that was the first of a couple emails that we got from Agent Rico.
I love the dark ride reference.
This is from Agent Stewart. He says, hey, guys, last episode I heard Agent Daniel lament about knowing when things were coming out. So I got on the Googles and I found some details. Thanks, Wikipedia. And he gives a link to the Marvel Cinematic Universe link. what he was looking at. Then I got to thinking, will we see a crossover event in the form of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Age of Ultron? So then this happened. I went a little crazy. But if you look at the dates and you take into account Agent Carter and holidays, we've got a straight run of Marvel Cinematic Universe until May 12th with a nice double issue at the beginning of May. Oh, wait, what's this? Daredevil is supposed to hit Netflix in May 2015. This is a HM of MCU goodness, right?
Hot mess.
Here.
Hot mess of MCU goodness, hot mess.
Okay, he's got November 4th as an off week. November 25th as an off week. December 26th and 30th as off weeks. And then we have Agent Carter starting in January going through into February. And then a run of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Age of Ultron is May 1st. And he's got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 21, May 5th, 22, May 12th, and then May 18th, Daredevil. I put all the dates that have been released in a Google Calendar. If you're so inclined, I can share it with you. I plan to keep updating it as we know more. Thanks for the great show. Make mine Marvel. And he put it on the 18th with a question mark with Daredevil. But no matter how you slice it, we've got a lot of stuff coming our way, and it's exciting. It is exciting.
Hey, speaking of excitement and confirming Daniel,
mm-hmm.
Agent Matt. No, not that one, a different one. But Agent Matt sent us a message that says, I don't know who runs this wiki, which is the Marvel Cinematic wiki, but they say 33 is dead. Take that, Ben.
I'll take it, and I'll throw it right back at you. Take it
and
back.
And he also says,
I'm listening.
Hey, do you think all this talk of ex-wives is leaning towards Mockingbird being his ex-wife rather than Hawkeye's?
He did not say that.
He did. October 16th, he said that.
That was my birthday.
And you know what he said tonight?
Way.
You know what he said tonight?
What?
Called it.
Well, he did. He did. Oh, my goodness.
So, do you have the button nearby?
I don't have that on a button.
We need that on a button?
Oh, no.
Oh, well.
It's
impossible for us to give it.
Well, you're just going to have to do it. Well, maybe.
No, you knew, Matt. You could have had it. You could have.
No, wait. I got it. I'm downloading it right now. Downloading.
Downloading music.
We'll do this first then. This is from Agent Jeff. He says, I'd have to say anyone complaining about the Daredevil costume in that picture doesn't know they're Daredevil. That is straight up the same thrown together costume that Daredevil used in Frank Miller, The Man Without Fear, or Origin miniseries. It's a temporary thing before he puts together a real costume. They even have a picture of the comic version in the very same article. They also mention in the article that it looks like a makeshift costume. Once again, internet people get up in arms about something they don't understand and haven't bothered to investigate.
Hey, so, can I say this?
An indictment on internet culture right there.
I think that probably 85% of the people who have been responding to that don't know much about Daredevil. And the reason I say that is I don't know a lot about Daredevil. And I pretty much read everything Marvel I can get my hands on.
I actually want to read some more Daredevil now because I've been listening to a Daredevil podcast called Dave's Daredevil Podcast. It's hosted by a guy named Dave. And
not Jerry.
And it's fantastic. Fantastic show. It's gone on hiatus for a while, so I don't know if it's coming back. I think there's an episode coming soon, but I'm not sure if that episode is just going to be like a goodbye kind of thing or if it's going to be I'm starting up again. But fantastic, fantastic, fantastic Daredevil podcast. Fantastic. Okay, can we go back in time? Who were we talking about earlier when I needed to press a button?
Agent Matt. Not that one, but a new one.
The new prize winner of the day.
There we go. See, that's so easy right now. Okay. But, before we had to stop recording, I had to do this and that and the other thing. So, there we go.
The new prize winner of the day.
Maybe a little loud.
Look at that. Two.
Those are both for you, man. not for you, Daniel, but for
well, yeah.
Agent Matt, who's not the Agent Matt that we podcast on other podcasts with. I can't believe he called that. That is amazing. Amazing. Okay, so
it was good.
Agent Jeff then said, oh, by internet people, I wasn't referring to you guys, but to the people commenting on the link that were complaining. So,
well, the only time you ever say things that you shouldn't are at times where, you know, you claim that certain obelisks are infinity stones. And,
I'm not claiming that it is, but I am definitely saying it could be. However, we do have some other theories coming up in just a second here. We heard from Agent Maya. I think it's Maya. It's M-A-J-A, so I'm pronouncing it Maya, but Agent Maya says, I'm listening to your latest podcast, and you're talking about why Coulson might be holding info back from Skye and the possibility that she might, quote, go Garrett, too. I sent an email back in August with some speculation about where they might be taking the whole GH-325 situation with both of them. There's a bunch of other stuff in there, but I really wanted to bring up that theory again. So here it is, copy from the first email. Quote, so Coulson, Garrett, and Skye have all been injected with the blue goo, GH-325. Coulson and Garrett have had side effects. Skye so far hasn't shown any signs. What happened to Garrett and then the teaser are probably foreshadowing a big problem for Coulson. They're going to have to find a way to stop or combat those side effects. I'm thinking Skye is a solution to that. She won't have any problems because she's a 084, and they'll use her biology to create a solution. Now, spoilers for Age of Ultron. Joss Whedon himself has said it's going to end on a downer, and coming from him, I'm assuming that people are going to die. Combine that with the footage shown at San Diego Comic-Con, and I think we can be pretty sure that at least one major character is going to die. But the Tahiti Project was created in case an Avenger died, and if I'm right, and Skye is the key to fixing it, there's a way to bring them back. And finally, we have some Avengers on the show or Coulson in the movies again, and maybe give them a reason to go find or piss off more Kree, tying it into the Guardians of the Galaxy. Or is this just too far-fetched? What do you guys think? End quote. Really enjoying the podcast. Keep up the good work. So her idea of using her 084 biology to create a solution to help Coulson, I think is definitely that. I don't think we've ever said that out loud, Daniel. Seeing it here, though, I think it's definitely something that we're going to see happen.
It is the golden parachute.
I mean, that's...
solves the problem.
That's how you do it, is figure out what is it about Skye that can help Coulson. Or it could end up being something to do with the obelisk, but, you know, learning how to survive it, I should say. So here's another email from Agent Rico, Daniel. He says this, hey, agents... I'm going to call this email New Theory on Blue Man. And the reason I'm calling that is because that's his subject line. As an addition to my other email, I'd like to share my new theory on the Blue Man. After doing research about Inhumans in the comics, I found that the Inhumans as a whole have beginnings with the Kree. I believe that Blue Man is a Kree. Skye and her dad and possibly Reyna are Inhumans. What if the obelisk's touch of death isn't the true power? What if the touch of death is a defense against non-Kree from messing with it? And Reyna, and presumably Skye's dad, can both touch it because it senses the Kree in their blood. I'll do you one better as long as I'm making these theories. Are you ready, Daniel?
I'm ready.
Are you? I don't know
if
you're ready.
I think we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier tonight. I think we agree.
What if the obelisk is the MCU version of the Terrigen Mists?
Okay.
Were you ready for that?
Well, but it makes sense because Reyna touched it and we were waiting for something to happen.
And nothing.
And it didn't.
Yeah. I'm super proud that I came up with this theory, and if I'm wrong, I want to see what's right. Signing off, Agent Rico. Great theory.
I think we like that theory. He's right. It's a great way to MCU the Mists. I mean, to MCU the Inhumans, and then your extension of MCUing the Mists works for me.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
You should. You threw in part of that, so you should like it.
What? What do you mean?
Nothing.
All right. Got a couple more emails here. Ready? Because this one's a little longer. This is from Agent Dare. Greetings, agents. I have greatly enjoyed your mission reports and the field reports of other agents. Thanks for continuing to provide this service as S.H.I.E.L.D. restructures and keeps fighting the good fight. I am completely enthralled with the new season, and I look forward to watching it on Hulu Plus each week, even though it means I have to wait a day or two to hear your comments. Now, before we see tonight's episode, I am going to go out on a very thin limb and follow the Inhuman theory for Skye's father and family heritage. The best way for this to happen is for her father to be Maximus the Mad, brother to King to Black Bolt, King of the Inhumans. This would give a long story arc leading to an Inhumans movie, and it would all be connected. Reyna could therefore be a lost child of the Inhumans that does slash did not show any significant powers or mutation from the Terrigen Mist and was cast out as unwanted. Where if Skye's father is Maximus, the Mad, he could then plan on re-exposing her to the Mists or the possible mutagenic properties of the Obelisk that may contain the Terrigen Mist in hopes of gaining more power to conquer the Earth or the Inhumans. I hope the Whedons and Marvel slash Disney are planning this far ahead. As for your Civil War discussion, you had answered your own questions several reports ago. Who can be the opposite of Cap if Robert Downey Jr. does not appear as Iron Man? James Rhodey Rose is already loyal to the government, and as Iron Patriot would be the perfect spokesman for the registration movement. Now, as for our beloved Dr. Coulson, it's tough to be the spy whose secrets have secrets. What made Coulson Fury's one good eye was his uncompromising morality. Now, as we have seen in the last few episodes, he is making more morally ambiguous decisions that are placing his agents in harm's way. Does he see the big picture? Can he see the big picture? He can at least see part of it if he is asking May to put a bullet in his head if he goes Garrett. Will we see the reconstitution of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Avengers 3 and before Avengers 4 to fight the Ultron threat? Or no, he says, we will see the reconstitution of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Avengers 3 and before Avengers 4 to fight the Ultron threat, which means that Fury will come back and to be the guy in charge, and Coulson can go back to being like his idol, Captain America. When we get to Civil War, it will directly affect our team. Coulson will then have to choose between his loyalty to S.H.I.E.L.D. and his overwhelming desire to support Captain America, who will be on the opposite side of the law. Those are some good good theories, and just I like what he's saying there. But he then goes on to say, now as for the threat of Thanos, I do not expect to see that wrapped up in an Avengers movie, but in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. As we have seen in the comics, and as you have mentioned before, there are always crossovers, and I believe that that is what they are doing with the Thanos storyline. Draw the audience from the known, the Avengers, to the unknown, Guardians of the Galaxy, for the big Infinity Gem payoff. Thanos was only seen by the hardcore fans who stuck around at the end of Avengers credits. Those people that did not stick around have no idea that he was in an Avengers movie at all. Guardians, along with Doctor Strange and possibly Thor 3, and eventually the Inhumans, will handle the cosmic stuff in the MCU. Again, thanks for all your hard work, Agent Dare.
I really like the idea of Rhodey.
I do,
he's
too.
He's facing off against Tony Stark. I think that does make sense.
It would work if RDJ isn't happy with the truck that they pull up. So,
and well, but no. Not Cap, but Rhodey filling Cap's role. We've already got tension between Stark and Rhodey. Stark won't give Rhodey a suit.
He's putting Rhodey in Stark's role, though.
No. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
All right. Stark was on the side of yes. For
dude, it's late.
Registration. Late. All right. I sent you one more email. Let's read this.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to read this. From Agent Stewart. Not sure what happened in this hot mess of an episode. Can't wait for you guys to explain who did what and when and how. As always, make mine marvel. You know what? I can't wait to listen to this episode so I can figure out what did happen.
There was a lot of – I think that the main question is, when did Bobby get in and how long had she been in? Because they weren't trusting Simmons because she hadn't been there for – well, actually, it was Bobby who was not trusting Simmons. Because she hadn't been there for very long.
You know what I didn't talk about?
What?
I want to say this because you hinted at it. Poor Dennis. No, Simmons gave Dennis what he had coming to him.
You mean Kenneth?
Yeah. Or did I talk about that?
We did. Yeah. You. I used the word poor, and you were like, no. This man is okay with murder.
I'm smart.
Yeah. You are. Awake, Daniel is great. I think we need to maybe close this down.
Hey, can we talk about that episode about, can we talk about tonight's episode where they were like making friends and influencing people? Can we do that?
It's almost time for bed. Or maybe I'm so, just a figment of your imagination, Daniel. Maybe.
Figment. That's a good comic. That really was. Good all ages comic.
Daniel, hey, where can people find us?
Welcome to level7.com. Seven spelled out.
Wow.
Between Disney.com. Bendy, final words.
Welcome to level7.com, facebook.com/welcome to level7, where a lot of talk is going on. Level 7 Pod on Twitter.
Or are we going to have to buy Welcome to 11.7?
Just don't want anyone to get confused if they try to go to that website. We need to make sure we have it covered. Oh, man. Okay.
Man.
Daniel.
It's been a long 2 days, but
I'm gonna trust you on that. So I was trying to figure out what do we go off on this here, and you know I had plenty of options, but I'm just gonna go with Daniel. Let's all try and stay calm. And then I press this button. Wait, no, that's the wrong podcast.
You totally ruined it by talking after.
Yeah. Okay. How about this then, Daniel? You ready?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So, no, that's not going to work. Oh, how about this? My internet is working. AT&T fixed it, finally. But that... I still believe, Daniel, that Hydra is everywhere.
The button.
I did hit the button. Oh, there it is. Daniel, I finally got... Oh, that's why. This is... It's the fade-in. Daniel, I finally got my internet back. And, AT&T fixed it. But I still believe, Daniel, that Hydra is everywhere.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
You know what, Ben?
Yeah.
Totally didn't plan for our post-credit.
I think that mess that we just had at the very end there, I think that's going to be our post-credit, Daniel.
Welcome to Level 7 is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast, get productive in your personal and professional life, theorize over TV shows like Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Under the Dome, and of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.
It's a magical place.